Our text this morning is from Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. This is what it says. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. Lord, we thank you for the prophecy of Habakkuk. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We pray that this morning your word finds good soil inside of our hearts to produce a great fruit in our lives. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing again in worship. You may be seated. We have been working our way throughout this year through different minor prophets. I appreciate Pastor Jeff. He was actually tasked to preach today, but we alternated based on some going last week. I had to go and have a funeral service for my aunt. Again, thank you so much for those of you who've been praying for us, for our family. And thank you, Pastor Jeff, for the flexibility. So he began talking about the book of Micah last week, and we'll continue in picking up the book of Micah in the next couple of weeks. But today, I wanted to jump ahead to the book of Habakkuk, and actually the last verses of Habakkuk, to talk about this subject this morning, because I thought this is a really good subject for what we have, Promotion Sunday. And Promotion Sunday, if you can remember all the way back to when you were a kid, one of the things that you seem to do a lot when you're a child is wait, right? Feels like, I mean, now that you're older, you never have to wait for anything. But when you're a child, man, it feels like you're waiting all the time, waiting and waiting and waiting. And how do you have joy? How do you have peace? How do you endure when you have to wait a long time? And that's why when we have these Promotion Sundays, we celebrate the achievement, the goal that you've gotten to a new place. Well, in this book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is a book about waiting. It's about waiting on God. And we don't just wait. It's not just this sense of like sit there and be quiet and wait, right? Kids understand that's kind of how mom and dad want you to wait. But God gives us some other ideas in our waiting for him and our waiting on him and what he's going to do. And this book of Habakkuk, this text that we saw here today, describes a very difficult time. There's no harvest. There's no promise. There's no provision. It feels like we are desperate, and yet something sustains us during that time. So this morning, I want to talk to you about what I call the secret superpower of joy. The secret superpower of joy. So I want to begin by us asking one of the best questions that kids ask, and actually adults, we can ask this as a fun conversation topic when you're out at lunch, when you're hanging out having ice cream after service. What would be your superpower? If you could pick any superpower, what would you pick? You get to pick one. And you think about that. It's a fun thing to imagine. Would you want to fly? Would you want invisibility? Would you want some kind of super speed or super vision? What would you want? Now my daughter knows mine. She asks me this question all the time. Mine is very simple. Whenever I go to pay for something, I would like to be able to reach into my pocket and pull out the exact amount that I need to pay for it. I feel like that's the ultimate superpower. Boom. That's it. No, it's not a credit card, because you still have to pay that back. This is like you pull out the cash. It's just there. Wouldn't that be great? That would be the ultimate superpower. Sadly, I do not have that. If any of you do, please. I got some bills that you could pay. No, but you know, there's lots that we like to discuss and talk about. We have all of these different superheroes. But I want to talk to you about this morning a superpower that you have. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have been given this superpower. You have access to this power. All Christians are equipped with the superpower of joy. Every single Christian. If you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you believe that he died and he rose again, If you believe that he ascended into heaven and that he is returning to make everything right, if you believe in him, then you also are given by him the superpower of joy. This is going to be a great day. You're going to leave here today with superpower. How cool is that? So what is it about joy that makes it a superpower? What is it, like, we say joy is the superpower. Well, why? Isn't it just a good emotion? No, it's much more than that. The reason why Christian joy is a superpower, the first reason is it does not depend on circumstances. Think for a second here about superpowers and circumstances. Now, I, for one, am extremely excited that in just a few days, I get to see a new Superman movie. Now, I might be alone in this. Maybe you feel like it's played out. But I love Superman. I think he's super cool. It's part of his persona. Superman is cool. Superman is powerful. He has these powers that are like, I think part of the reason people don't like Superman is that his powers are too powerful. But he's really got a lot of powers. But his powers depend on certain circumstances. What I mean by that is, you put him on Krypton, he doesn't have any superpowers. So you find, some of you seem totally lost, like you have never heard of Superman, and you don't understand kryptonite. Okay, I'm not going to do the whole background. The point is, the kryptonite is his weakness. When he's exposed to the kryptonite, which is his home planet and particles of his home planet, then he can't have any superpowers. It's all circumstance. That's why Lex Luthor, who really has no superpowers, can constantly be beating him. It's really, you know, you just watch the movie when it comes out. It'll be a lot of fun. Or watch any of the other eight. Anyways, like, think of every superhero with their superpowers, their circumstances that stop their superpowers from being affected. Like, what's, you know, the worst superhero? Oh, man, what's that? Water Boy? What's his name? Aquaman? Whatever. You take him out of the water, and his powers are really pathetic, right? Or even Spider-Man. You've got to have Spider-Man. He's got to be in, like, Skyscraper City. Otherwise, he's just, like, you put him in Poway. It's pathetic. Except for Poway Road. They're trying to make it Spider-Man effective with those apartments. That's funny. I'm excited about the Poway Days Parade in September. Yeah. Anyways, but think about what the scripture tells us about joy, the joy of the Lord. It doesn't depend on our circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Or what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:4, I'm acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort in all our affliction. I am overflowing with joy. The joy of the Lord, the joy that is given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, is in all circumstances, even when we are in affliction. In all our affliction. Guys, we live in a time in our lives, in a time in the history of the world, where we don't use the word affliction. Think about that. When was the last time you said affliction? I mean, you might have just read it. I just said it. But we don't talk like that. We don't think of that. We're very spoiled. We're fairly, you know, even in the difficulties in our circumstances, we have nothing like what Habakkuk was describing. A time where there is no herd in the stalls and there's no fig trees. Man, you guys all have figs. You have immediate access to figs. There's a Trader Joe's across the street from a Sprouts, across the street from a Stater Brothers, across the street from a Walmart, across the street from a Aldi, across the street from a grocery outlet. Yeah, I know, because my wife has to go to every single one because she considers a field and buys it. She is a Proverbs 31 woman. Praise God for her. And she goes to all of them, which is amazing. And they all have figs. So we don't really understand what Habakkuk is prophesying about. The joy of the Lord is regardless of your circumstances. And our circumstances could become dire, and we can go through hardship, and we can go through affliction, but we will still have the joy of the Lord. And this joy gives us supernatural strength. Supernatural strength. That's what Habakkuk is describing. I love Nehemiah 8:10, that people have worked hard to rebuild the temple of God, to rebuild and restore the walls surrounding their city. They're restoring Jerusalem, and they're exhausted, and they're famished. And Nehemiah says, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." God's joy gives us strength, even when we are exhausted. I like that Habakkuk, he says that this joy, says, "God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on high places." This is interesting to me, because he's not the only one that says it. Habakkuk is not the only one. David also says that God makes his feet like a deer. I think that if David and Habakkuk and the Old Testament prophets, if they had comic books, then they wouldn't have Spider-Man. They would have Deer-Man. A deer, like seriously, deer are stronger than spiders. Oh, you go, proportionally? No, I don't need proportions. The deer will just step on the spider. Deer are crazy strong, man, and super fast. And they got antlers. Like, they're generally docile, but I'm not going to chance it, right? So the psalmist sees the deer, and he sees the strength of a deer, and he sees a deer just jumping its way up a cliff and, like, climbing all these cliffs, and boom, you know, look at that thing go. You guys ever encountered a deer in the wild? Scripps Valley Parkway, you're driving up and down there, and it's got, like, a sign that says there's deer crossing. I've never seen one. Not here, but I believe I did see somebody posted a video on Poway Neighbors of their backyard security camera, and the deer just jumped right over like a 6-foot fence right into their backyard. Just whoop, nothing. They're amazing. They're really, really strong. And the psalmist and the scripture says that that's the kind of strength that the joy of the Lord gives you. That's some serious strength. Deer people. Yeah. Deer boy. You're right. It's not a good comic book, but it is the psalmist. They liked it. This strength in all circumstances that comes from the joy of the Lord empowers a supernatural mission. God has called you, equipped you. He's chosen you. He's recruited you into his justice league, and he's given you this superpower of joy for a purpose. Because he wants you to go forward for his mission. Look at Luke chapter 24. After Jesus rose from the dead, and now he's imparting to his disciples, he's preparing them for their mission. In Luke 24, 45 through 53, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted away from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. He says, look, you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to proclaim repentance by The gospel, by what I have accomplished, the fact that I have lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven and am coming back again, that simple message, you saw it with your own eyes. You know it to be true. I'm standing here before you and I'm sending you out to tell not just your friends, not just your neighbors, but to tell all the world, to tell every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And when they said that, they had no concept of the United States of America. They had no concept of a world far beyond. When he said this, when Jesus said this to the disciples, this world, this continent, was basically another planet away. Into the unknown. That's where God was sending them. That's the mission that he was giving them. And he said, you know how you're going to do it? You're going to be empowered with joy. Joy. Joy that will enable you to endure severe persecution and affliction and hardship and degradation. Joy, even when people are trying to kill you, you will have this spirit of joy in you. So I've told you this morning that every Christian is given this superpower, the superpower of joy, but you might say, I'm not sure that I have this. So how do I get this? How do I have access? How do I get this superpower of joy? I want to give you a couple of tips on this. The first thing I want you to be aware of is that because this superpower of joy is a work of the Holy Spirit, you cannot buy it. You cannot buy it. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness, and there's an expression about happiness and money. What is it? Money can't buy happiness. You guys have heard that before. But you also know that one of the missionaries that we support, Mark Bloom, he has a saying about happiness and money. You remember that? He said, yes, they say that money can't buy happiness, but money can buy a jet ski. And I've never seen a sad person on a jet ski. So, I don't know if money can or can't buy happiness, but I know that it can't buy joy. Money can't buy joy because joy, this true joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, is a gift of the Holy Spirit, is an outworking of the Holy Spirit. I want you to have joy, and you can't buy it. The reason why we can't buy these gifts of the Holy Spirit is because if you can buy something that's supernatural, then it's not supernatural. It's natural. And there are natural expressions of joy. And there's people outside of that do not have faith in Christ that can experience joy. They have a taste of joy, but they aren't going to experience the supernatural joy that can overcome and endure through all situations, in all circumstances, and give supernatural strength and empower a supernatural mission. That is the joy of the Lord. That is the joy that I want you to have today. So how do you have that? To receive this superpower of joy, you have to ask for it. You must ask for it. You can't buy it, but you can ask for it. You could say, God, please give me your joy. Please, I want the joy of the Lord. You must ask for it. Not only must you ask for it, you must also practice it. Because the superpower of joy increases with practice. It grows in our lives. Consider some of these verses, Psalm 63, 5 through 7. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. You have to understand the poetic language that is taking place here. The idea of being awake in the middle of the night is not a joyful one. Why would somebody be awake in the middle of the night? Now, we are awake in the middle of the night often for a sense of anxieties and fears about the days to come. But also, when the psalmist would speak this about being awake in the middle of the night, it was about fears of present dangers, those that would be surrounding and overcoming. They didn't have ring cameras to protect them. Oh, those things come in handy because they filmed the deer jumping into your backyard. They didn't have those things. So they would live in kind of, they would set up watchmen to protect in the group, the family homes. They would gather together and say, okay, how do we protect what is ours? And this idea is that the one that is tasked with protecting in the middle of the night, in the darkness, when they don't see what's going on out there, when there's the potentiality of threats on the doorstep, it's in that moment, I'm going to remember God. I'm going to remember His blessings. I'm going to rejoice in Him. And the more that I meditate upon Him, the more that I think about Him, the more that I consider His character, the more that I consider who He is and what He's done, I'm growing and growing inside of my heart joy. Joy. Super strength. And not Psalm 92, 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. Ask for joy. God, give me your joy. Meditate on who God is, and that joy grows. But then, don't just ask for it and think about it. You have to express it. You have to sing. If you want joy, you have to sing. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 said, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christians are singing people. Singing is an essential discipline of the Christian faith. I know. I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up learning the correct answer to everything is pray and read your Bible. They ask you that question in Sunday school, but you just say, pray and read your Bible. You're going to get it right 99% of the time. It's important. Pray, read your Bible, but also sing. Sing. Do you want to have joy? Sing. This is why the Bible is so cool. This is why the Psalms are so cool. Because even when you are sad, which by the way is you have joy in all circumstances, even in your sorrow, even in your sadness, even when you are sad, you can sing. You can sing a song sung blue. I like making references to somewhat dated things like that to see how the age demographics of the congregation. I know that you're old if you understand the song sung blue, and my sister started smiling really big at that, so she gets it. Yes. But that's true, like we sing the blues. How do we sing? Singing grows the joy of the Lord inside of us. David sang about wanting to kill his enemies. Yeah, I don't care. Go ahead, sing. You grow with joy. Now, again, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But go ahead and sing the heavy metal until you get back to singing the hill songs, and you'll be all right. Joy will grow inside of you. It's good to sing. The last thing I want you to consider this morning about this superpower of joy is that it comes from the salvation of Jesus Christ. We go back to our text this morning, and Habakkuk 3:18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will take joy in the God of my salvation." The God of my salvation. The joy of the Lord that is our strength in all circumstances, that is empowering our mission, is the joy of knowing you have been saved. You have been saved. You are the recipient of the mercy of God. You are the object of His intentional love. Not His intentional, but sacrificial love. That God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have decided before the ages that you, individual you, specific you, would be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How can you experience anything other than joy in light of such knowledge? What a miracle. What a wonder. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation, so rich and free. Peter writes this: though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I've never had a dream or a vision of Jesus Christ. I've never seen a picture of him that gives me faith. I know him according to the Word of God. I believe in him because the Holy Spirit has given me faith. I believe in him. I believe these words are true. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. And that love of Jesus, that love for Jesus, that love from Jesus gives me joy. If you want to have joy today, if you want to live in any circumstances with joy in your heart, if you want to be empowered in your mission, if you want joy, you have to love Jesus. You're not going to have the superpower of joy without love of Jesus. You can fake it. You can pursue and pay for a lot of happy experiences. But you're not going to have the superpower of joy if you don't love Jesus. So I invite you this morning, love the Lord your God. Love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Let everything that is in you believe on Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Believe that he is for you. Believe that he has called you and that he will bring you to eternal glory. And the truth of the matter is, when we get to heaven, when all is said and done, when the world is made right, when the new heavens and the new earth are experienced and is our home forever, the joy that we will perpetually live in is seeing Jesus. He is the object of our joy. He is the greatest gift that ever has been and ever will be. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We thank you for your salvation and for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Amen.